It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right.
Yeah. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
On the line. Did you make JJ listen to that? Lloyd.
Oh, you know what? I brought him on, by the way. He's like, well, at least it's not the Raiders. I feel like we need to unite the clans. Unite the clans.
Well, I mean, look, the one thing that should be bringing Broncos and Raiders together should be a equal hatred for the Chiefs.
Exactly.
And a love for the Eagles coming up.
Come on,
here in the
JJ,
next
unite
weeks.
The clans.
Jeremiah Jensen joins us now.
This week, all about the Eagles. Absolutely.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Let's go.
100%.
I can't.
Although it was kind of, I don't know. The Bengals were kind of jabronis, so you know, it's funny. They've stunk for three decades, and then all of a sudden they act like they run the league. So it was kind of nice to see the Chiefs put them in their place and send those jabronis back to Cincy.
Well, Lloyd and I were talking about this in the first segment. It's just there's certain things you don't do, and before a game, you don't go and have your defense. I don't remember what defensive back did it, but a couple guys going, "Yeah, we're going to Burrowhead Stadium." You say that after the game. You don't say that before the game, and then the mayor pipes in and makes his stupid DNA joke, and it's just like, "Hey guys, like, what are you doing? This isn't a smart thing to do here. This is dumb."
You don't poke the bear. You don't poke Andy Reid. So they did that, and they paid a price. Although, I mean, it was a game of inches. I mean, one play here or there, and if you know, they're putting a lot on Osai, but, you know, if that 15-yard penalty doesn't happen, I don't think they get a field goal off, and who knows what happens in overtime.
No.
So it wasn't like the Chiefs handed it to them. You know what I mean? They sure acted like they did after the game. I mean, Kelsey acts like they were dominating the game. It was one play that really made the difference in that game, and it was entertaining. Not well played all the time, but it was definitely entertaining.
All right, so I did not see if you tweeted about this, so I'm going into this answer or this question not knowing what your answer is going to be. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy theory, and the hit out of bounds was a hit out of bounds. Like, I'm not arguing that. That was the right call to make. He got hit out of bounds. But there were a lot of calls that should have gone against Kansas City that did not go Cincinnati's way. And I'm kind of wondering where your thoughts are, because that officiating, I wasn't too keen on how that game was officiated yesterday.
You're giving too much credit to the officials. You think they were intelligent enough to come up with a conspiracy. Come on now. They just didn't know. That's just pure incompetence. I mean, there were some issues in the Eagles 49ers game as well. I think that there are some issues with NFL officiating, and you get on that big stage and it becomes magnified. I just saw the ratings this morning. I mean, 60% of Utahns yesterday watched those games. Massive, massive ratings. And imagine how big that is in other markets. I mean, the NFL is king, so there's a lot of eyeballs on these games, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, and the officials weren't great. They were not great. That extra down the Chiefs got, that can't happen.
No.
So, of course, that's going to feed the fire. And, of course, we already believe some of these things. And sometimes it's like, man, the NFL's got a little WWE to it. And Travis Kelce didn't help that after the game.
Yeah.
But it does have a WWE feel to it sometimes. And, you know, do they manipulate some things? I don't think so. But they put themselves in these positions with some incompetence or bad decisions PR-wise that allow the conspiracy theories to happen. So I'm watching, just like you, Scott, I'm watching the game like, what's going on here? Why are the – I mean, these are some things going the Chiefs' way that shouldn't – it's not like they need help, right? So if I'm a Cincy fan, I probably woke up this morning pretty angry and irritated, but I just lend it to the incompetence and some of the issues with the officiating. Not that they were smart enough to come up with some kind of crazy conspiracy, like the commissioner's on the phone and he's buzzing down. I don't really know. No way.
Doesn't have like a Buffalo Wild Wing like pager. Yeah. It just starts like, hey.
he's got a little lever up in a press box there, up in a suite up there. No, there's no magic lever up there to get a call to go his way.
And you're right too. The Philadelphia game earlier, and granted, you know, when Brock Purdy went out with the injury and then had to come back in, you knew San Francisco wasn't going to come back and win that game.
Yeah.
But still, it's just and look, I'll admit I'm a little biased because I don't want anything good to happen to Kansas City, so I'll own that one. but the Niners and the Eagles, I got no dog in that fight. I just wanted a good game. I have, you know, we're not like my boss Nate. I don't care one way or another on that game. But that one really early felt like it was leaning heavy Philly, and it just was like, oh man, this has a weird vibe to it.
Yeah, Scotty, I went into that game picking since San Francisco because I felt like they had enough offensive weapons, and I didn't quite trust what Philly had offensively, and I was so terribly wrong. But where I was really wrong is I didn't really give that Philly defense enough credit for how dominant they are, and this is why I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. That defensive front had 70-plus sacks this season. Only the fourth time in NFL history a team has had 70 or more sacks in a season. That Eagles front is nasty. They're vicious. And they took Brock Purdy out of the game early. That game was over the second that sack was made.
Yeah,
that was the difference. And of everything I watched this weekend, the thing that stood out to me was how dominant that front four of the Eagles is. And I think that's going to be the difference in 2 weeks from now. Mm.
You fired up for this one? You looking forward to this game?
I kind of am. Because the Chiefs, you know, like you, I share a hatred for the Chiefs. I mean, Scotty, it's not even a hatred anymore. It's become a jealousy. I hate to admit that.
Oh, I'll own that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they are what the Broncos used to be, and it ticks me off because the Broncos could still be that because of mismanagement. They're not. But the Chiefs have become what the Broncos were. They've got the great quarterback, the great offense. And a solid defense, and I respect the heck out of what the Chiefs are right now. But I still am a Broncos fan. I want to see them get buried. And there's just a little bit of it. They're in there every year. And the Eagles are kind of a fresh new story. Jalen Hurts is a great story. If you love stories of a quarterback overcoming all kinds of adversity, look at Jalen Hurts' story, getting benched at Alabama for a freshman. All the things that he had to overcome. He had to fight and claw and scratch for a job in the NFL. Here he is, one win away from winning a Super Bowl. He might be the MVP of the league. So there's a great story there. I mean, the Eagles came from kind of nowhere the last 2 years. I know they won the Super Bowl 5 years ago, and some of those guys are still there. But it's just a fresh new story. So the Eagles kind of have my attention, and I'm looking at them as a team I'd like to see win it. But I really do have to admit that I respect the excellence of the Chiefs. Making the AFC Championship game 5 straight years and getting to the Super Bowl 3 times during that span is pretty darn good.
All right, so Lloyd, I want you to jump in on this as a Raiders fan, JJ and I as Broncos fans. Would you rather Kansas City lose, but yet everything stays in place, or Kansas City wins, but it does mean Andy Reid retires and goes away and maybe that team takes a step back? What would you go with?
Well, Chiefs win.
Yeah,
Chiefs win.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid, look, I mean, I love Andy Reid. Again, the respect. It's crazy how he didn't get enough respect over this. You look back now at what he did. He's been to 10 conference championship games, 5 with 2 different teams. So very few coaches can say that. He just wins football games, and you talk to players that play for them, and they just love them. To be able to have the respect of the players and get a team to be disciplined and to get them to achieve that kind of excellence, that's what you want in a head coach. He's a Hall of Famer, and he needs to be celebrated as such. So as a Broncos fan, I want Andy to retire and go eat 1,000 cheeseburgers and enjoy the rest of his life. He's earned it. It's time for change for me. But the thing about Andy is that why leave now? They're still on top. Mahomes is still in his mid-20s. They're not going anywhere.
No.
They're loaded, and if they can find a good, solid replacement for Tyreek Hill, I think they took a step backwards offensively a little bit this year. If they can find another star receiver, they're going to be they'll still be good for another 5 years. Kelsey's not going anywhere either.
Get him out of there. I need him gone. I need the Chiefs to go through some like a coaching carousel of what I've been through for like the last 20 years. I need him just to get out.
Lloyd, I even feel sorry for the Raiders and their coaching crisis. My goodness. How many coaches can they go through? And now, we Broncos fans know exactly what you're going through right now. I don't understand that hire at all. So, yeah, the Raiders have suffered with coaching issues for many years. So I get your pain. I really do.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, a couple other items I want to touch on. Kind of a shotgun approach to the interview here because there's a bunch of different topics, but Jazz are now 26-26 on the season. Fun game against Dallas. Should we be grumpy that they're not winning more? Should we be grumpy that they're not winning less? Because this is kind of no man's land when you're sitting at 500, and it's been a fun season. I don't want to take away from the entertainment value because this team is fun to watch. They're crazy likable. There's a lot to really enjoy. But in terms of long-term value for this team, you're not getting a lot based on a 26-26 season.
Yeah, it's a weird place to be in, Scotty, and I don't think we thought they'd be in this place, so it's kind of hard to process it. So we went through these weird, I guess you'd call it a little bit of a roller coaster this year. The 10-3 start had us thinking, oh my goodness, these guys are actually really good. They're going to be a playoff team. So we kind of changed our expectations of the team, and then they went through that really bad stretch. And then you went back thinking, wow, this is what they really are, and they're regressing back to the mean. But now the schedule's evened out. They're right there in the mix. I think they're one game out of fifth. I mean, they're right there, but then they're like two games out of 12th. So, you know, where do you want them to be? What's the best for this franchise long term? And I think maybe the trade deadline will answer that question for us. If they move some bodies, I think that'll give us an indication. I mean, that's coming up here pretty quick. I think a week from Thursday, right?
So, yeah.
I think that's going to answer a lot of our questions about what this roster is going to be after that. But yeah, it's just really weird. It's just kind of been a fun, interesting ride. Every game they play in is fun. They've had all these great finishes and really, really intriguing games. And I think this team's created more memories this year than last year's team did by a mile, which says a lot about the team. So, but again, you're like, where is this really going? What is this 25-25 season? Or if they finish 42-40 or something like that, and maybe they get like in a play-in situation, how does that benefit the franchise long-term? I think the one thing it does benefit, Scotty, is that you maintain a culture of excellence as far as trying to pursue winning. Obviously, they had everything to gain by stinking this year, and instead they were fine to just let this team achieve what it was capable of achieving instead of trying to purposely tank, and I respect that, and I think that's the right way to go about it. But there's some really, really good players available in this lottery, franchise-changing players, that if they miss out on it, feels like a missed opportunity. So I get how difficult this is for Danny Ainge and for Justin Zanuck and for Will Hardy to manage this, because it's kind of, you know, you unless you're really in the top, you want to be down in that bottom mix. Being in the middle is rough, but this is what they are, and this is where they're at. So you don't want them to bottom out like some teams. That doesn't automatically gain you anything either.
So when you look at this team, and obviously Lauri Markkanen has been absolutely special. Walker Kessler looks like the Jazz have hit on that. Because, you know, I go back to when the Rudy Gobert trade went down. My thought, you know, Hans and I are sitting here. We're like, oh, that's a first. That's another first. That's a pick swap. Oh, this guy named Kessler. Okay, whatever. That's a first-round pick. So I guess that counts as another first. But we never really anticipated much out of him as a player. But my goodness, you may have a cornerstone that you just hit on in that trade that nobody really thought much of when that trade happened.
Absolutely. I mean, if Lauri Markkanen is an all-star, he's only, what, 25? He's just hitting his stride.
Yeah.
So if he's an all-star, you found an all-star for an all-star. You traded Donovan Mitchell for Lauri Markkanen, and you got all the picks. And you got Ochai Agbaji as well, by the way, who we need to mention, who I believe is somebody you could pencil in as part of a core moving forward, a 3-and-D guy that makes you a really good basketball team. I think he's got a high ceiling. So you say those three pieces are what you really discovered this year. Well, then maybe that offsets the idea that, okay, because we all think, you're all automatically thinking, right, if you don't get Wembanyama, who's a generational talent, you don't get that number one overall pick, then you missed. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, you look at what the Celtics have been able to build. You look at what the successful teams. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are in first place in the West, and Jokic was a second-round pick. You don't have to have the number one overall pick to be a contender, to find your path to number one. What if they have these three foundational guys and they're able to strike gold with one of those many lottery picks they have? Not the most conventional, like picking a LeBron James number one overall, but at least you can build that team that you can move forward with and have a chance to contend later on. If finding Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji and getting all those picks was the path that you took this way, then I think you accept this season no matter what the record is, and you're fine with that moving forward.
And plus, it's just a fun team to watch. I mean, it's a fun team to cover. I'm sure, as you cover this team, it's just Will Hardy's brought a new. And again, when I say this stuff, it makes it sound like we're dogging on the predecessors. But, you know, Quinn Snyder was a different personality, and Will Hardy's got his own that's a little bit more, I don't know, endearing. And you've got players that are just genuinely more interesting, and it's just kind of a breath of fresh air, I guess I should say, because it's not a knock on Rudy, it's not a knock on Donovan and the old crew. It's just, it had ran its course, and it was time for a change, and change is not easy, but I think it's welcomed at this point.
Well, what Jordan Clarkson said earlier in the season, he called it the good vibe. I mean, it really is a good vibe. Everything at the franchise right now is just a different vibe. And this is an entertainment business, right? So we should be entertained. Last year was not entertaining, so they had to change it. They had to rework it. Something had to happen. I think we all agreed with that at the end of last season. We had no idea it was going to turn out to be this. But I give them credit, Brian Smith, Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, for recognizing what it was and going to work this offseason and making extremely difficult decisions, trading a three-time defensive player of the year who was beloved here by fans and wanted to retire here is not easy to do, and they did it, and they scored big because of it. They rolled the dice, they took a gamble, and it paid off big. Trading Donovan Mitchell, who is just unbelievable. I mean, it's really hard watching him play for Cleveland thinking, man, that should have been with the Jazz, but it was a decision that had to be made. It was another tough decision. What did they get out of that? They got Lauri Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji, who it may be a beneficial thing for the Jazz long-term, because Donovan wasn't going to stay here. So, and then you get the picks as well. So they made tough decisions that they had to make, and I give them credit for that. I mean, I would roast them if they made bad decisions or were too conservative. I have to give them credit for making the right moves this offseason and being willing to do the bold thing. Fortune favors the bold, and so far the moves they made in the offseason has really paid off for them. As painful as it is to see Donovan Mitchell score 70 in a game for another team, it was the right move.
You concerned about the BYU basketball team going into the Big 12 when this team, as currently constituted, just isn't particularly good right now?
Very, very concerned. That Big 12, I mean, look what Oklahoma did to Alabama this week, and Oklahoma's at the bottom of the Big 12. I mean, Texas Tech is the last place team in the Big 12, and I'm sure they beat BYU by 20 right now. So BYU going into the Big 12 is going to be rough. What they have to do, and I'm sure, and Mark Pope knows this, and everybody down there knows this, is they have to have an infusion of talent. I like Dallin Hall. That's kind of where you start with your foundation. But you've got to go find guys around him that can play. And, you know, moving to the Big 12, we've seen with the transfer portal, with everything else, you can build a roster pretty quick. They got to get to work in the offseason, because if they roll this back next year, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
They recognize that. They understand that. And I think I'm sure it's frustrating for BYU fans to see a BYU team that's kind of in the middle of the pack of the West Coast Conference, and you see them, you know, lose these heartbreakers at Gonzaga and St. Mary's. But BYU should have been better during the West Coast Conference era. I really believe that. And they've fallen short of where they should have been. It's been disappointing, and it's hard to believe that they're going to be able to find success in the Big 12. But, you know, that transition's going to be rough. I think it really is. But they recognize that, and we'll see if they can find some players. Just going into the Big 12, I think, is going to get the attention of a lot of recruits in the offseason, a chance for somebody to come in there immediately and play in that league and get attention against some of those great teams. They'll have the opportunities to find guys to upgrade that roster in the offseason. If they don't, then yes, Scotty, it's going to be ugly. I mean, really ugly next year. This team would not fare well in the Big 12 at all.
JJ, you're the best, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. It takes a village when Hans is gone, so thanks for helping us out.
Anytime. Love being on the show, Scotty. You're the best. We'll do it again soon.
You got it.
You jabroni!
Boy. Be good, JJ.
You calling me a jabroni, Lloyd?
No, he would not.
Was that directed at me?
No, he would not do that. Lloyd, right? Lloyd?
I don't trust a Raider fan. That's true. I will end with that.
Yep. Truer words have never been spoken. There you go, Jeremiah Jensen. Of course, you can catch him on right here on Channel 5 KSL. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.